Thank you, Father, for meeting with us like you do. Give someone a big smile, fist pump, a high five, whatever works for where you are before you're seated. God bless you. Amen. How many's been enjoying our 21 days of prayer and fasting that start? We're in day 8 right now. We've got a few that enjoys it. It's the weather's kind of interesting out there, and I'm thankful that you showed up today. And for everybody that's online, God bless you for joining with us as well. Amen. I hope you get everything you need today. Amen. And the world we're living in, God is good. And if you're not a part of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, are able to come tomorrow evening at 6:30, amen, join with us online, because it's online, and you can participate with us and pray with us and find out who's. We have a lot of prayer requests, and I know God's already answering several of them. And if you have a prayer request, leave it with us before you leave today so that we can stand in the gap for you and join with, amen, others that are praying that agree. It works. The Lord is doing great things. Amen. So, and we'll meet from 6:30 to 7:30 every evening, Monday through Friday, and then Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Oh, I look forward to 21 days of prayer and fasting, because we get to fellowship and we get to connect even better and be family. Amen. So I encourage you to ask the Lord about that in the future. We'll do another one in August. How many is ready to hear and get confirmation on what God's already saying to you? Is anybody hearing the voice of God? Amen. For you that are not hearing the voice of God, and you want to hear the voice of God, I want to encourage you that you are designed by God, your creator, to walk with him, to walk with his voice. Isn't that good? And so, but there's so many voices in our world that are speaking, and the enemy is walking to and fro looking for whom he may devour. Now, that's Christianese to a lot of people. If you hadn't read that in the Bible, it's in there. But he's looking for avenues into our lives so that he can devour our identity, our dominion, our power, our authority. Now, I know that translates into your true God DNA, and you're thinking, well, that sounds like what he would want to do. Yes, he needs your authority. He needs your power. He needs your identity to promote his kingdom. So he's got to manipulate the way we think in order to devour it. Are you catching this? And it's important that you catch this today, because it's all over the Bible. He's a thief and a robber. What is he wanting to steal from us? Our identity. He wants to take away the faith that God wants you to walk in. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the, which is the living voice and breath of God. The enemy wants to take the breath out of you so that he can use it for his objective in our world. So he's walking to and fro into all the earth. He's looking for avenues, amen, where God has chosen to live. He chose humanity to be his temple, his place of rest. God has a place of rest. That is you. The enemy knows that for God to fulfill his purpose in the earth, he will not do it without you and me. He's limited himself to you and I agreeing with him on his behalf. And so we're fighting for something. We're fighting for Christ to manifest, identity, to live through us. On behalf of what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you, and it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's no better place to be than in the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, that means you're not standing still. You're moving. You're walking with him. And you have dominion and authority over all the wickedness and the darkness, because you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And the enemy is freaking out right now if somebody believes this today. You're powerful. And he is defeated already, but he's got to convince you he's not. And so how many today are thinking, man, if God was for us, amen, and the enemy is defeated, then why is all this stuff going on around us? Anybody ever thought like that before? Yes. And so moving forward in 2021, we're going to stand up. We and retake what belongs to our Father and what belongs to us. And that's our identity. We're life changers. We're children of God. We're blood bought. We've been bought, amen, by heaven. We're not our own. We're the house of God. Amen. We're not running and hiding in caves and, amen, in strongholds and trying to find a place to be where we're not affected by what's going on in our world. No. Amen. God's asked us to step out from behind all that and declare him and declare the good news. Amen. And so in 2020, the challenge was on. Amen. Pandemic, politics, isolation, quarantine, whatever it is that you had to deal with, it challenged your life changer status. And I pause for effect. And you know that's not God's will because he already won 2,000 years ago. He already beat COVID-19 2,000 years ago. Well, we got two or three that sounds right. No, he won. The greatest event that ever happened and ever will, there will never be an event like it with the cross of Jesus Christ. That is the doorway to life and life abundantly, life eternal, everlasting life. More life. If you need life, Jesus is the way. He is the door. And when you utilize the cross, when I say that, I'm not talking about you and, you know, the fact that you got to go die again. What I'm dying to is the stuff I let in. I'm looking in the mirror and dealing with the old man and the things that he's allowed into his life that's not of God or represents the kingdom of God. And I want to challenge everyone here today. You are powerful. Don't be held captive by your surroundings and all the voices and all the lies and all the corruption that's going on in our world. Our world's hurting. And the only hope for our world is you stand up and be Christ and be counted. Amen. Let's move forward. I'm not telling us to rebel against nobody. We rebel against the enemy, but we honor God, amen, and the magistrates he puts in our life. But what would Jesus do? What would he do? And how would he respond? And he sits on the throne and he is in charge. And we're all subject to him. So it can't be a better thing that you and I do than listen to what he's speaking. Let the breath of God get in you and trust him. Because there's no law against love. There's no law against temperance and gentleness and kindness. Come on, the fruit of the Spirit is always accepted by everybody. It works. Amen. And so when you have the right kind of fruit in your life at work, the works of the kingdom begin to manifest. And everybody is looking for answers right now. So the answer can't be hiding in caves. The answer can't be running when the answer is the truth that makes us free. Amen? I'll read something to you and challenge everyone here today. First things first. I titled the message, creative team, help me. Thank God for a good creative team that hears from heaven. When they said it, oh man, yeah, I feel that one. Good information. Original information. Remember now, We don't want any information but the original information prior to Adam going and eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That information, it's everywhere. But original information prior to Adam eating that is the voice of God. It's the truth that makes us free. Has anybody come today to get that? So I'm not preaching at anybody. I am here to confirm the word that's near you, even in your mouth. And as I speak what God has given me to speak, your God nature, your child of God nature, your sonship, your true identity is going to go like, oop, I heard that already. Yep, that's why I dreamed that. Oh, that's why I felt that. Ah. And the confirmation, the second and third witness is going to have you go, you're going to clear your throat now. When you start getting that second and third confirmation, and you're going to know, oh, that's daddy talking. And then all of a sudden, an experience comes with it that you can't explain that supersedes fear, frustration, anxiety, depression, debt, division, divorce. Man, come on. All of a sudden, you're able to make the enemy run seven different ways because now you have stepped into the Spirit, and the Spirit is the very voice of God that you walk in, and you're God's representative. Where'd all this fear and frustration come from? Ezekiel 11 and 5. I know it's in the Old Testament, but God said it, and I'm going to go with it. See if it encourages you today. Strong scripture, though. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel speaking here, and he told me to say, this is what the Lord says to the people of Israel. I know what you're saying, for I know every thought that comes into your mind. Now, there's a strong indication here that they hadn't even formed the words yet from the mouth. Anybody remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? She didn't even say it. She just laughed. And the angel of the Lord knew exactly what was going on because it was in her mind. Amen? And so there's something about the mind that speaks loud as a man or woman thinks in their heart. Our mind in this particular passage, so are they. I want my identity back. And the way I think doesn't match the identity that God gave me in the mind. Now, let me help you here. Last week, I kind of moved over it quickly, but when you were being formed in your mother's womb, your heart was receiving information. Your blood pumping heart area, the inner part of you, in your mother's womb, is receiving information and it's storing it in the brain. So that when you were born, whatever it was that you experienced while you were being formed in your mother's womb, like the Lord said, I knit you in your mother's womb, I put you together, I knew you there. And when you come out of your mother's womb and you experience the world as we know it, all of a sudden, what information was stored, depending on what your mother experienced, whether it was joy, frustration, anxiety, stress, peace, list of things, you were storing that information in the brain. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel things, and you begin to feel like, I'm not wanted, I'm not special, I'm not needed. All kinds of emotions start showing up. And these voices, the enemy, he goes to and fro looking for avenues, opportunities to where he can scream loud because of information in the brain. He wants to give you false identity. And the moment he can start working on you as a child, he works on you to get you, instead of responding to the Spirit, to reacting to the things around you, your surroundings. And if things in around our surroundings is not right, we go hide, we go seclude ourselves, we go whatever. The list goes on. We go try to do something to feel better about existing. But the enemy's looking for that avenue to convince you that you're really not valuable so that he can take your value and build his kingdom. Is this helping somebody? And so all of a sudden, we start thinking a certain way because of all the feelings, the emotions that are not true godly emotional intelligence. But it's the enemy trying to demote us to make us think of ourselves less than who God says we are. And if he can get us to agree with him, he's empowered. Let me give you the counteract. Let's counter that one. If God can get us to agree with who he says we are, woo! But his voice is not turned up at the level the enemy's voice is. And while we're hearing these things about us that make us feel less than who God says we are, then the voice of God is coming to still small voices. He says, but I love you, and I've got plans for you, and you're special. And I mean, he's continually talking, amen, but he's letting us experience the world around us and the pain that goes with that agreement and the ugly that goes with all the stupidity that we see going on, so that eventually we'll get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we'll say, enough is enough. What am I missing? And that's where he meets us. Because we shut all that off for a moment, and then we're able to, oh my goodness, if that's really you, Lord, help me. And we ask the right question. And he gives us the answer that brings experience in us that wakes us up. And that's what the enemy's hoping will not happen. Because all God needs is one to catch it. And once you get a spark and a fire going, then sparks start going everywhere. And we start hanging out together. And we start connecting. And we start serving and investing in one another instead of trying to get everything we can from one another. We start loving others as he loves us. Because the enemy lied to us and said we wasn't valuable, that if you're going to make it in life, you're going to have to scrape the bottom and this dog eat dog and I mean all kinds of stuff until we just got totally out of our identity character and we're just fighting to exist. And we'll bite anybody's head off in a moment. Anybody tracking? And we wonder, why are we acting that way? We look in the mirror and say, man, what's wrong with you? And from God's level, if you know, there's nothing wrong with you, man. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Let me tell you who you are. If you'll trust me, I'm going to make a transformation happen. Just by simply agreeing with him. I want to read you a passage here. In Judges 6, it's for you all the Bible scholars, give me some room. There's actual people in here that didn't know that Gideon existed. And I want to read the story as quick as I can about Gideon. And I want to talk to you about first things first. Is that okay? For those of you that didn't know about Gideon, it's a true story. I'm going to give you a quick version of it here in Joshua 6, or Judges 6. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Now keep in mind, the Lord didn't do it to Israel. Israel did it to themselves by making the bad decision. Choose life or choose death. It's our call. Whatever we choose, we get. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Anybody ever felt like that before? So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. Anybody knows what getting delivered of sin looks like? I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all the oppressed. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you I'm the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree in Ophrah, which belongs to Joash of the clan of Ebenezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat in the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And Gideon's like, "Who?" I know you felt like that before. God's trying to tell you who you are, and it's like, "Really? Don't you know what's going on, Lord?" "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this pandemic and this unrest in our nation happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites I am sending you." Has anybody ever felt like, "Man, I'm going to be a believer in Jesus," and it just didn't work out? Now Gideon's thinking, "Okay, it sounds good. I'd like to be that person, but time out here. But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that this is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring you my offering to you." He answered, "I will stay here until you return." Gideon hurried home, cooked a young goat, and with a basket of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meal in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, "Place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it." And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of the staff in his hands, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And notice what happens here. "It's all right," the Lord replied. "Do not be afraid." All of a sudden, ain't no person there, but he's hearing. He's hearing. His inner ear just opened up because he just had an experience that couldn't take it away from him. "You will not die." And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahshua Shalom, which means "The Lord is peace." Now, I was looking forward to getting through that so I can give you what the Lord's been giving me. It's talking to me. So what do we do when we feel isolated, hiding in fear, running from our identity in Christ? When do we stop talking about it and start doing something about it? What's our hope? Our hope is the good news. It's the way. It's when we step into our true identity and start carrying the thing that God asks us to carry. Would anybody agree with that? Good news is always welcome, isn't it? And I like hanging out with people that are positive in their outlook, and they can see, they have vision. And they're always talking about what they see. And when they talk about it, it's always good news. It's inspiring. It brings hope. So good news is God speaking and working through all that allow him. It's God's original information. It's the truth that really works. At one point in Gideon's life, Israel has, they're in a dark place because, you know, trusting God's hard work. Now, that's not a true statement when you're walking in the voice of God. It's a hard statement when you're not empowered to walk with God. And so God is wanting Israel to have a sword in one hand and deal with the enemy and a farming tool in the other so they can plant their crops and take care of their herds. And that's a little bit too much work. And they prefer to have a king and an army to deal with all that, fighting the enemy thing. And so trusting God was a little bit more than what they wanted to do because it just seemed like it's too much. Anybody ever thought about, you know, when you believer as a believer and living for God, it might be a little bit too much work. Now, you got to keep in mind that mindset to get there, especially if there's self-centered or self-willed or selfish motives. Amen? When there's a selfish motive involved, the enemy has an in route. He has a way to get in and manipulate me through self-will. And you'll find that it's all over the scriptures. The only reason that Jesus didn't know the many that said, didn't we cast out devils and do many wonderful works in your name? And the Lord said, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity, iniquity is self-will. And a stronger term is self-worship. Yet God was still working and using them for promoting his objective. Yet he let them know, I'm not with you. I don't know you. I'm not intimate with you because you're intimate with yourself. And in your mind, there's thoughts that are going on in your mind that are not me. And ladies and gentlemen, Gideon is dealing with fear. He goes into the wine press, and oh, this is the Lord talking to me, it's my version of it. And he's found a place to hide because it's not a time for wine pressing. It's not a time for grape juice producing and wine producing. And because of that, he says, this will be a good place to hide from the enemy. They can't find me here. And so he takes the wheat in there and he threshes the wheat, wanting to put food on the table for his family. And so he's hiding. And he's dealing with the frustration and the politics of his country and the division in Israel because they got splintered because they didn't trust in God. They put their faith in themselves being the answer. And the enemy, once you get self-willed, he's aware of it when there's self-will involved. And it became the enemy's opportunity. They seen that Israel was vulnerable. And they came in when they were not trusting God, and they began to dominate and force Israel to serve their gods. And they left them to starve in the process because they would go in to Israel's area where they were at, and they would raid their crops and their herds at the right times every year. And they were just barely making it. They were just barely existing. But God found a man. And the beautiful thing about this is when it's time for us to realize that enough's enough, there's some things that have to happen in order for us to arise and the enemy be scattered. Now, I know every one of us would like to put the enemy on the run today. Everybody agree? But if the enemy runs and you don't have what you need, he's coming back to the house. And Jesus said, if he comes back to the house and the house is swept and it's clean, but there is no Jesus there, he goes back and he gets seven more spirits, even more wicked than himself, and he comes back to that vessel, and the latter of that vessel is worse than the former. Is anybody tracking? We want to make sure we get our identity in play. Jesus is telling Israel, Jesus came, and he's telling Israel, look, you're that one. You didn't let me come to be Lord in your life. And therefore, you're now worse than you were prior. Well, that what he's telling Israel is good for everybody. I need to take that principle and write that one down and ask God to help me catch that one because I don't want to be worse than the guy I know in the past. I know a guy in the past, man. He's messed up. But it's good that I've been there and done that, and now I know more about the grace of God than I could ever express. Man, the love of God is awesome. Every one of those lies I believed, over one of those voices that impacted my life and caused me to think of myself less than who my daddy says I am, I thank the Lord that he trusted me with that so that I could get a revelation of really who he is and who I am in him. First things first. And the first thing that has to happen in our lives, amen, is that we've got to get a revelation of the fact that who we are is identity. This is your first thing. You've got to get a revelation of that. At the end of this conversation that I'm having with you in this message today, if you don't catch that one, you can say, you know, Pastor, I want to deal with all this other stuff. If you don't get that one, you're going to fall on your face again. You're going to have trouble being committed to the fact that you have faith in God. If you think of yourself less than how he sees you, you're not going to move with him. He has to have you agree with him on who you are. That's why it was so important that those that experienced the promise of God in Acts 2 be filled with the Spirit and with fire so that they wouldn't question their value. And then they would turn to in the face of the enemy while they're hearing all the threatening accusations. If you preach in his name, we're going to kill you. And they turned in the face of that spirit, that lying spirit, with boldness and declared Jesus Christ and him crucified. The good news is to whosoever will. But they had to get a revelation of who they were. And so we find that when we step into our identity, the kingdom of God is present. When you walk into a room, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God has come into that room. You have that kind of impact when you live in your identity. If you doubt who you are, you limit God from pouring from you into the room. We're here to host the very presence of God. And in hosting his presence, first things have to be first. I've called you out of darkness into marvelous light. I've chosen you. You're my child. I bought you with my own blood. You're my house. Open the door and let me in so that I can come and sup with you. I can talk with you. I can invest in your life and you spill out into the world around you. You have to come to an agreement on who God says you are. And if I was you, because I know this with all my heart, man, I've experienced this. That's the one thing, if I was you today, I would get a revelation. I would open my inner ear and say, Lord, who do you say I am? Until you hear him speak who he says you are. And you ask him. We have not because we ask not. This is not a begging time. You ask him to help you receive that identity. And when you ask him to help you receive the identity that he says you are, what you're going to find out is he steps into his temple. And you're not guessing anymore at this point. Uh-oh, now you know. I am Christ. Come on, Galatians 4 says it. That when you're baptized into him and when you receive his Spirit, you become Christ. Amen. You become a testimony. You become the light of the world. You become, amen, the dominating force in the world around you. He will not do it without you, but you've got to know who you are. I know several of us are here like Gideon. It's like, oh, mighty man of valor, who you talking to? Because I certainly don't feel like a mighty man of valor. Right now, I feel like that tall. I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the least among the tribes. Come on, that's what Gideon was saying. This is what I know about this. And how did you get that knowing? Who told you that? Identity. So important for us to understand the power in it, because in no one of us can get to the Father but through him. Amen? And so Gideon is challenged to accept his identity with a plan and with a purpose. God says, when he calls him, "O mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you to take them out. It's going to be like you're fighting one man." And we're talking about a force that had no number. God wants you to know that what's going on in our world and around you, when we accept who we are, he gives us a plan. With identity comes a purpose. With identity comes clarity of vision. With identity, man, God steps on board. And he's okay with the fact that you're having problems, amen, kind of working with this. You know, I heard it. And look, I've seen it happen. Sean, some of you that's been in the night, you've seen it happen in freedom classes. You know, when you pause for a minute, you say, "Lord, who do you say I am?" And you can watch on their faces. They're like, I don't know about that. And then they're arguing with God because they can't see themselves as more than a conqueror. They can't see themselves as an ambassador of Christ. It's like, "Oh, no, you're missing it. You meant that for somebody else." "Not really, Lord. Who am I?" Is anybody catching this? And he will let us wrestle with him, just like Jacob wrestled with him until he gave him a new name. He let Abram doubt his identity. And he worked with Abram until Abraham's name was changed to Abraham, or Abram's name was changed to Abraham, a father of many nations. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy knows who Abram was. He knew who Abram was because he attacked his loins, he attacked his wife's womb. He was trying to stop Abram forever finding out who he was. Just like he's trying to stop you from getting a revelation of who you are. But Abram joined with God because he heard him call him out of the land of the Chaldeans, out of Ur. And he yielded. And Abram left that land and walked with the voice of God. Became known as the father of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Not the preacher. Not Dwayne Lowe. But you're hearing your daddy talk. And he's got a plan for you that's awesome. It's beyond your ability to comprehend. Amen? Come on. I like the way God works with us. He worked even with the man at the pool that was lame for how many years? 38 years? He worked with him. He said, "You want to walk?" "Yeah, I would. I would walk, but you know, this is going on, that's happening, and when it's time for the water to be troubled, I would go over there, but nobody helps me, and they get in first." And he's given all the excuses of why I can't be healed. And daddy's standing right there saying, "Look, do you want to walk? Do you want to be healed?" And finally, Jesus says, "Look up on me. Look, look here. Look, look, look. Get up." I mean, he goes the extra mile. I mean, he keeps reaching when we don't deserve it. So we're not get anything from heaven because we deserve it. We're going to get everything God has for us because he loves us. And he don't quit. He's after you being who he says you are. He's not satisfied with you going with him on a journey, not accepting who he says you are. It's important you know this. You don't guess because you said some prayer with me, and that automatically I'm in. No, you experience this. It's fire. It's spirit. You know it. And that's what happened to Gideon, because Gideon said, "Okay, Lord, if this is really you, and this is the Lord speaking to me, you stay right here, and I'm going to go get an offering." Why is he doing this? Because he remembers. Okay, I remember something kind of like this happening, this scenario. I was told a story that happened with my father Abraham. And so he's putting, "Okay, if this is really you, then stay right there." And the angel of the Lord, which he thinks is just another guy, said, "I'll be here waiting on you when you get back." Okay, this is getting really weird because that's what I heard happened to Abraham too. So he goes and he makes this offering. He brings it back. And the angel of the Lord is still sitting there. And the angel said, put it on that rock. And we bring all of our gifts and our offerings and our sacrifices, everything, to Jesus Christ, who is the rock. And when you make yourself an offering, when you make of yourself a living sacrifice, when you make of yourself his temple, he receives it. But there's something that comes with it. He laid that offering on that rock, and he touched that. That angel touched that with his staff, a theophany of God, which is a type of Christ. He touches that offering with his staff, and the rock fired up and flamed up and consumed it. Anytime you experience Jesus, who is the rock, there's a fire that comes with it. It guaranteed, every time. Jesus came, died my death, paid my debt off, so that I could experience spirit and fire. And he tells me not to go try to be a witness until I first experience that. Once you experience that promise from heaven, that promise from God, you experience, he said, now you can go be my witness against the enemy. You can be my witness to the nations. You can be my representative. You can be my ambassador. You can be my mighty man and woman of valor at this point. And it was then that Gideon realizes, because the theophany vanishes. And he says, oh my God, I've seen the face of God. I'm going to die. Because he heard that. Anybody ever heard any religious ideas before? And you thought, I'm going to die. Or this is going to happen because grandma told me this, or uncle so-and-so said this. The Lord don't love me no more. No. Immediately, when he said that in his heart, he recognizes the voice of God, says, peace be to you. Don't be afraid. It's all good. I've chosen you. And now he don't need a body there. He's the body. Somebody's going to catch this. Somebody's going to get this in a little bit, because God's just looking for a vessel. He's looking for an instrument of love. He's looking for somebody that will let him show himself strong, that will receive the true identity. You're his children. Anybody catching this? You're a child of God. You've been given his name that's above every name. You're separate, amen? You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. God chose you of all of his creation. You're his choice. But you don't understand, Pastor. I got this baggage. I got this stuff in my closet. I got this evidence. I'm really not his. And you're still hiding. And you're still running. And you're still fearful. And you're beat up. And you're beat down. And the Lord won't let me stop talking about this, because you're special to him. And I'm going to keep saying what he's telling me, because you're going to say, you know, I've heard that somewhere before. And you're going to start tracing it back to a time when you were beat up and you were hopeless, and you heard that voice says, I love you. You're special. I'm going to keep you. I'm not going to let you take your life. I'm here with you. Your best days are before you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we ever become the mouthpiece of heaven and we say only what we hear our Father say and do what we see our Father do, other people around us is hurting. They're going to recognize, I've heard that somewhere before. And it's going to be timely. It's going to be right on time. I'm looking at the clock. Help me, Lord. Identity is very important for you to hear. But Pastor, he heard the angel speaking, but it was after the angel told him who he was that he heard the voice of God. And it was like a fire inside of him. And the Lord spoke to him, said, I got some things I want you to do. You see, identity's number one. Number two, come on, first things first, hearing. Hearing. Hearing what? The good news of who you are and God's plan for you. Without vision, you will perish. But if you have a single eye and you can see, anything is possible now. And it's when he got his identity that he heard and peace came. Peace that passed. Peace be to you. Be not afraid. And the Lord says, I got some things I need you to do. You want me to go whoop the enemy? No. We're going to take care of that. I need some things. There's some things in your house I want you to take care of. There's some things in your yard and in your house we got to deal with. And he tells Gideon, he says, you see that altar right there? That altar in my house. Yeah, right there. I want you to tear it down. I want you to destroy it. Now, if we do that, we're going to upset some people now. If we do this, and the Lord understood that he's trying to deal with his new identity and get used to the voice that he's hearing now becoming the voice in his life that moves him. And he decided that, can I do this at night? Sure, I'll work with you. You can go do it at night. And so Gideon decides to go at night. And he goes because he's finding out, you know, I really do have some influence. He goes in his father's house, and there was 10 servants that he brought with him to help him tear down that altar and that idol, that pole that stood next to that altar. And they tore down that idol and that altar, and then... And is anybody finding out you got some altars? I just read today that God knows what we're saying because he knows the thoughts in our minds. Ezekiel is referring to, God is saying, look, Israel, you got some images on your mind, in your heart, that's got to come down. He's letting them know there's gods that you're serving, and I don't have any place in you because there's other gods involved. It's interesting that God loves us so much that he'll put up with our worship of other things in our life. And some of us here are not starting to track it right now. So, okay, what you spend most of your time doing, is it sin? No, not necessarily. But if it's greater than God, we got to deal with it. Anything that's greater than him takes away from your identity and God's purpose in your life. If there's something in your life that's greater than God, it's an idol. And there's an altar by it where you worship. Christians do a lot of this. And they wonder why there's no evidence of their Christianity that follows them. But that's okay. Relax. Don't grieve over what I just said. Don't let that beat you up. Relax. Because God is working with Gideon. He worked with Abram. And Abram became the father of many nations, the father of faith. Gideon becomes a mighty man of valor, and through Gideon, God destroys all the armies of the enemy. And they had to work through some stuff to get to their place in him so that they were back to their redeemed state of walking with the voice of God, just like me and you. And so when you tear down an altar, and you tear down an idol, whatever that is in your life, it has to be replaced with another altar. The altar that we build on behalf of our God. And we commit our life to him. And the fire never goes out. It burns. And it works in us and through us. And everywhere we go in our identity, we have dominion and authority. When you walk into the 7-Eleven, the kingdom of God has just arrived. Look, I'm going to tell you, our God is the president. When the president gets on that jet, it becomes Air Force One. It's not Air Force One until he gets on it. It's when he gets on it, it's Air Force One. When you let him take place in your life, you are the kingdom of God. The kingdom is within you, and it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. and you become an arsenal. And God's purpose now can spill out of you. I'm going to give you a few quick stories right now. Some of you remember Mike Sherwood. Sherwood family, awesome family. Wow. Special man there. But I remember when I first came to Universal City, I met his nephew, James Sherwood, because of Vince Farrell. God has a way of finding all of us, don't he? And while I'm giving them what God gave me as the good news, James Sherwood said like that, dude, I've been going to church all my life. I have never heard this before in my life. How come I ain't never heard this? And I said, well, hey, thank God we're hearing it now. I'm not the one saying it. It's the Lord saying it. He said, man, you got to come to my family reunion. I said, okay. What does that look like? He said, man, we're having a family reunion in the next couple of weeks, and you got to come tell all my family this. I said, well, first get permission. I need them to realize what's going on. He said, oh, I'll get permission. And sure enough, they had a family reunion in Marble Falls. When I get to that Marble Falls location, my God, do they have a family reunion. It was huge. It filled up the area they had. And there was this huge oak tree, man. All of them couldn't get under it. We was trying to get the shade and everything. And so I come and I'm being overwhelmed by people everywhere. Sherwood family's huge. And so we're fellowshipping, and the time come, and he said, man, they're ready to hear. And everybody just gathered in and sat down. And here I am. I feel like Jesus. Because I am. It's our identity, ladies and gentlemen. He's been wanting to do that with the Sherwood family, and he's looking for somebody to let him. And while I'm giving them what God gave me in my country boy way, God is touching the whole group. And Mike Sherwood is sitting over there, and he's like 45 years old, and his body is reeked with RH, rheumatoid arthritis. And he can't hardly move. He's in pain. And he gets me over there, and he said, man, I believe that's the, I ain't never heard that before. That's awesome. I believe you're telling me the truth. He said, man, I'm going to be at that little storefront on Sunday. And guess what? When he showed up, there was a whole group of them showed up at that little storefront on Sunday. And while I'm ministering the good news, Mike Sherwood says, enough's enough. First things first. And he made his way up there with that pain to the front. And as he's going, God's touching him. And when he got up to the front, he started getting filled with the Spirit. And while he's being filled with the Spirit, and he's having an Acts 2 experience, his body's totally healed. Totally healed. Now, the Sherwoods live out here. You can go find out that's the truth. And you can meet Mike Sherwood for yourself. And he got the paperwork. He ain't had rheumatoid arthritis since. His son became a massager. He could do it too. Okay. This is what happens when you find out, like Gideon found who he is, like Abram found out who he is. This is what happens when you find out who you are. The miracle worker shows up and starts working out of you. It's not you, it's him. But what we do when we find out who we are, we all say together, look what Daddy just did. Look what the Lord is doing. But I got to tell you this one as I close. I have to do it. Melvin Williams, I told this story probably about 4 years ago, but the Lord came on me early morning. Melvin Williams lost everything he had. He lived in California. I didn't know him, but he was a business owner, a very successful business owner, but he didn't know who he was. And he lost his family. He lost his business. He leaned into alcoholism and became just sore and offended and beat up. And he left California and he found his way to a little church that I was attending in South Mississippi. And he came in that little church. And God touched him. And God filled him with his spirit. And he asked the question. I'm abbreviating the story to help you out, because I know you get tired of sitting here for shortly. He got it with the brothers after he got filled with the spirit. Because it was so awesome. He's like, man, I feel like I could fly. This is awesome. I mean, he was totally set free. I mean, when you experience God on the level he designed you experiencing, you're not questioning no more. If it's God, you know. And Melvin felt like he heard God say, I'll give you your family back. That's what he felt like he heard. He said, man, boy, the Lord said. Now, you got to hang with me for a minute. His wife is about to get married in 2 weeks. She don't have nothing to do with him. She is sick and tired of him. And he's letting us know, I'm just giving y'all a scenario, but I heard God say he wants to give me my family back. Y'all believe that? And the brother says, oh, yeah. We know he said it. And they agreed with him and said, okay, Lord, you spoke this to Melvin, and we know you told him that, and we know you don't ever fail us. I don't know how you're going to do it. We don't care how you do it. But send the ministering spirits that need to go and touch her heart. 1 a.m. that morning, he gets a phone call, and she's on the other end of that phone saying, I don't know why in the world I'm calling you. And she's crying now. But I miss you. Y'all got to catch this. This is what our daddy does. He's good at it. When there's ashes, here it comes. When there's a dead stump, the best tree's about to grow now. When it looks like it's over, and it's just bones there. A mighty soldier comes back. And some of you feel just like that. Man, all I got is bleached bones left. And all God needs is an agreement on who he says you are. She comes. They get reconnected, remarried, the whole family. He and she becomes powerful ministers. And if you heard Melvin Williams preach, you're like, my goodness, man, that guy is on fire all the time. And God wants to catch us all on fire in our true identity. Now, I know that there's altars that need to be torn down and there's idols that need to be broke down. And it would be good that today you would ask the Lord what they are, but if you don't know who you are, it's not time for you to tear that altar down. It's time for you to deal with the fact of identity. So you can get clarity of hearing and you can get that voice, that breath of God to come in. Once you catch that, altar's not a problem to deal with. You can tear down some stuff, but trying to be a good person before you find out how he sees you, At New Life Fellowship, we do not promote anybody here trying to live up being good. There's only one good, and that's Daddy. And the only way you can step into his goodness is let him come into his house. When you let him take over his house, his goodness will begin to work out of you and through you and out of you, wherever you go. But stomping on the enemy is God's job. Our duty is to tear down the altars and the idols. He's going to put a whooping on the devil. He didn't ask you to put a whooping on that. He beat the devil 2,000 years ago and all of his imps. All he's asking from me and you is to agree with who he says we are, receive that identity and spirit, and start tearing altars and idols down. Things that have more value in your life than God does. Let me make a simple one here for you. Abraham, when the voice of God came to him and called him out of Ur, he made an altar. Go follow it. And he made a promise to God. I'm going to return to you a tenth of everything you've entrusted me with. You can count on it. And he worshiped. It's when he decided that God was top tier in his life that everything started happening in his life, and that all the nations then feared Abraham. They didn't touch him. You don't mess with that guy. Why did the fear come up on all the nations? Because even the nation says, his God is the one true God. Jacob did the same thing. When he found out who he was, he said, okay, I'm going to do this. You can count on it, Lord. I'm returning to you what belongs to you first. You're top tier. And I'm not talking about just finances, y'all. I'm talking about time, talent, resources, across the board. He's top tier. Whatever it is, he gets the first. And when you make room for him in that, and you submit to that, he takes over his house. Stuff starts happening. Wow factors start taking place. And so Gideon decided, oh, if you really who you say are, hang on, I'm going to go get something. And I'm bringing it. I mean, he didn't have a lot because he's just barely making it. He went and got the best of what he had, and he brought it to him, and the Lord took it, and fire consumed it, and revelation happened. Experience took place. Whoo! And some of you are waiting on that right now. But there's some of us going to have to tear some altars down. And for the next few moments, for you that don't know who you really are and you really want to live up to your true identity in Christ, that's where you're at, and that's where God's going to meet you right now. And then there's others. God's going to meet you, amen, with his voice that says, I want you to go tear down this altar and this idol. And when you do, the thing that's been beating you up, the frustration, the anxiety, the fear, whatever it is, the disease, the Lord's going to go, once you tear it down, he's going to go take care of it. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for encouraging me right now to release it to your treasure, your people, your sons, your daughters. We breathe because of your mercy. We exist because you love us. Now, Lord, breathe into them that don't know who they are, and help them to hear from you on who you say they are. And for those that are convinced of their identity in you, Lord, help them deal with the altar and the idol in the house that needs to fall. Because the only way our nation's going to heal and our nation's going to get the miracle it needs is when the church stands up and becomes the mouthpiece of God. Thank you, Lord, for that truth. Let it catch us right now, Lord. Can we lift our hands right where you're sitting? Just surrender to heaven. Nobody here but you and Daddy. This is one new person. We're the body. Receive what Daddy has for you.